All right, I'm going to go ahead and call our September 19th Columbia City Council pre-council meeting to order. First on our agenda is a quick discussion over MoDOT's I-70 evaluation and the recommendations that we'll be sending to them on behalf of that. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Let's see.
And Shane, the acoustics are really bad in this room, so make sure to project yourself.
I will attempt to. So I'm just going to go through the first two or three slides, kind of set everything up, and then open it up for questions. Then we can bounce around in the presentation based on what the specific question is. So MoDOT's looking at a study corridor of I-70 through all of Boone County. So that's 17 miles and 10 interchanges. Our goals are pretty simple. We want to inform council about MoDOT's planned evaluation, attempt to answer any questions you have, and then obtain feedback from council in an effort to draft a letter to MoDOT, which conveys our support and recommendations regarding the project. And then what is funded? Currently, only the I-70 US 63 interchange is funded, and it's only partially funded. It's planned to be a design-build project, and the design-build team has to provide at least as good an upgrade as the eastbound to southbound and northbound to westbound flyovers would produce. I know that's a lot, but all other projects in this presentation currently aren't funded. I think their main goal, there's so much federal money out there that they want to go through this evaluation for the whole thing, so if something comes up, they're more ready to say they've got a project ready to go. And so, and we at the city are doing very similar things in that regard. And then what I think one of the things we think is most important is, I'm not sure how much of an influence we'll have, but the Federal Highway Administration has adopted a complete streets design model, and MoDOT has what they call a safer assessment for every roadway document, and which really speak to a lot of the concerns we have with what we've seen so far. So we want to reference those as the best way that we can push them to do what we think needs to be done. With that, I'll leave it on this slide here for MoDOT's stated purpose and need, and open it up for questions.
Thanks, Jane. And I just want to quick, for room setting, I had asked for us to do a presentation like this and potentially vote on something to send to MoDOT, because I serve for one of our representatives for our community advisory group to MoDOT, and so I wanted to know if council had opinions that we wanted to make known when they're kind of ranking what choices they have, that I knew what y'all wanted to do. And so on tonight's agenda, and you do have it pulled up as well, on tonight's agenda is the draft letter that I think maybe it's your other tab that you have open. Is kind of a draft letter where basically what I did was kind of put what you had talked about and what our priorities are. And then I just put the kind of staff recommendations and what I heard a little bit of us discuss at the last meeting into the bullet points as we talk to those different areas. So we will, again, this will be on our reports section later, but I wanted to kind of, so you knew the relationship, because if we voted on anything, I obviously wanted to do that at our regular council meeting. So I know there's a few generic questions, too, about the process. And I think, Nick, you had sent one about, I think, some of the intersections. And were you going to ask that of staff, or was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess really three questions, if I can just go ahead and put them out there. That's all I've got at this point. One, you mentioned this one interchange is the only one that's funded. Are the other interchanges recommendations they have, are they ranked in any way so that if there is federal funding that comes into play, that we would kind of look at those in a ranked fashion so that, you know, we do this one and if money comes in, we do this one and so forth. You want me to just ask my other two questions and then?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. And the one is just I want to understand about the Scott Boulevard interchange and the status of that. What city's point of view of that is specifically. And then the other is just the impact of that. What is it, the East Columbia, what is that plan?
The East Area Plan.
Just what impact that's going to have. And I think that's raised in the letter. as well, but I'd really like to understand. I know that staff seems to have an interest specifically in the Scott Boulevard and MoDOT maybe not so much. If, and that, I may not be understanding that right, but
sure.
I'd like to hear about that. But if the first thing is just, does MoDOT have in mind what they might do one after the other if funding, if and when funding becomes available?
Are you aware of, I'm not aware of any of that, but.
Not to my knowledge. I don't think there's a, the intention is, there is funding, so we said it's identified for the
right.
MACOE connector. There is also some reconstruction money for the lanes of I-70. It's not the entire length. It's basically maintenance money. So they would probably put that in towards doing a larger scale project. But I don't think that they publicly provided any kind of information as far as what specific projects they would go after if they could go only after some of them.
Yeah, okay.
To get to your question about Scott Boulevard, so historically, I mean, the time scale for projects of this magnitude are typically like decades long. So in the 90s, some interest was generated regarding some sort of additional way for the western side of Columbia to have access to I-70. That came up as a desired thing, and then through a lot of planning activity, things were identified. I'm sorry, Richard Stone, I'm with Public Works Department. I'm the engineering operations manager. Sorry. It identified that if no connection is made west of Stadium to I-70, that more concentration of traffic will occur at Stadium and probably decrease the utility of that intersection because it'd be overwhelmed. Now, there's a lot of things that we don't know about the future of traffic and everything else, but having good access to that freight corridor is really important to the community. So that's been identified by council and management over a couple of decades now as being important. And in what we're seeing from MoDOT, they're just kind of not really, in our opinion, addressing it like they probably, we would hope that they would. I don't know that they won't, but they don't have funding for it. So somehow having better emergency access across Pershing as well is one of the key components. So having some other way to get across the Pershing is pretty important. Currently, you'd have to go all the way down to Gillespie Bridge, which is about 2 miles away. Those roads really aren't made for I-70 type traffic going through town. So that's what we see as being pretty important.
Well, I used to live down that way, so I know exactly what you're talking about. As we're growing west, I would think that might have added significance.
Before we get to your third question, if we can stay on this one for a minute on the Scott, there are a few in their recommendations. There were a few things related to that outer road that connects with Stadium. Were any of those addressing any of the issues you brought up in relation to crossing the Pershing for emergency access?
Yeah, and that's about the amount that they've talked about. It is that they also think that some sort of crossing of a Pershing would be beneficial.
Okay.
That's about the extent of what this high level look at I-70 that they've agreed to being.
Do you all think then our addition of that point in there about providing another connection across Pershing Creek is critical to, I mean, is that, do I need to bold it or just thinking like, how do I make sure it's, it's not necessarily has to be tied to, it's more of just that piece. We don't have to wordsmith. That's a question I have for us to think about.
Based on past history, what I would see as occurring as we move forward would be, if you were to write this letter, whatever's in this letter, if there's questions as the process moves forward, you can ask the question of MoDOT and FHWA, how is that being addressed? So this really gives you the opportunity to go and keep asking those questions moving forward as the design moves forward.
Okay.
If you don't have something.
Wait, did you finish your third? I forgot. You did them all together?
Well, it was just about the impact of this study.
Oh.
I can't remember actually how I...
Do you want to answer that one, and then I'll want to go to Pat?
Well, about the, what the status is, particularly to the time frame and how that might impact the development of the St. Charles Lake of the Woods interchange, and that's still pretty far down the road, it sounds like, so...
It's pretty similar to the same answer. The decades-long kind of look at having, again, that extra resource for the community to get from 63 to 70, and all the citizens of the state to kind of know where that should go. There are some questions as to the feasibility of reconstructing St. Charles itself, or you know, maybe relooking at that entire area. And you know, is it better to go to Z if things have changed over a decade or so? I'm not saying one way or the other, because that's when you go into these studies, you really do have kind of an open air type look at it and see what's best to do, and then with data get down to that best case scenario.
What's the date on that study originally?
The East Columbia EIS was 2009 was when it was okay. Published. The AJR was 2011 was when it was published.
So who looks at that? I mean, when you say looking at it, because I know the Stadium Boulevard one sort of goes through a lot of sort of rough area out to St. Charles, and it's sort of, you know, theoretical, but if you actually look at the landscape, it's difficult. Who looks at that, and who makes those decisions, or what group starts looking at that?
To kind of give you some context, the 1960s and 70s was when the first sort of blushing that stadium should be extended to 70 occurred, and then in the 80s, there was some movement on it. In the 90s, there was a tax that was supposed to maybe fund that extension, but it never got built. So then in the 2000s, started looking at, the city actually put in money, as well as MoDOT, to establish where should this go? What kind of environmental impacts would you have? Just identifying, you know, if you have some 4F properties, I'm sorry, something that you can't go through, you know, for whatever reason, and finding a route. So it would probably, what we're saying is MoDOT should take that kind of up as part of this study, but they may want the city to be involved in sharing the costs of doing that at some point.
I would encourage the county too.
The county is interested because it's a lot of it's in the county too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So, Pat, you had a question.
Generally, a consultant would look at that.
Barbara, your paragraph about talking about the Scott Boulevard, I read it a couple of times thinking, where is it going to say we want MoDOT to reconsider this and include it?
Say that again.
So I keep expecting that paragraph to say to MoDOT, please reconsider, because they're avoiding the Scott Boulevard interchange, if we want them to do it, because it's been so characterized in the past, shouldn't we say point blank, we want you to reconsider because we want this to happen?
I can add if that's...
But it just feels like it needs to be more direct. And where the city is growing, I remember when we started growing west, but it seems now we're growing north and east with all these new housing developments. They may not be coming into the city, but since we have those annexation agreements in order to get sewer out there, it feels like we're building an awful lot of housing out there.
With Battle High School out there.
And in 2009, Battle hadn't been built yet.
Right.
So are some of the recommendations on this going to address the fact that the city is growing out this way?
That's what I was kind of trying to get to in the last two bullet points when I talk about the East Columbia. That's where I'm talking about. That was at least the start of it, because as we're looking to that, that's what I want them to work with us on. And that's what you were just saying, Richard, that it's a good idea for us to partner. And I can add in there, the City of Columbia is happy to partner with you in Boone County on this as we plan for the growth in the area. Because that's something that we've talked a lot. You know, we're seeing some proposals coming to us about new development happening, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, I don't want anyone 200 extra cars on that road. So, yeah.
We're kind of going in both directions, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's both, which is, you know, makes that all the more challenging. We're going east and definitely are anticipating even greater put it that way. So.
And I'll comment that I restricted our comments and recommendations in the letter to the areas within city boundaries. MoDOT's corridor evaluation is going all the way. What is it, O to Z? Like, they're going farther within Boone County than just within the city, but I restricted our comments to just at least our limits.
Does the county issue a letter about these things too?
I told them that we would and was going to share it with them. They also have a few seat, or they have also have a seat on the community advisory group. Whether or not they have a vote from the commissioners on the recommendations, I'm not sure their process.
How does your letter fit with the recommendations and concerns of the Business Loop CID?
Yep. So I included the pieces that they had, especially related to the slip lane on Business Loop.
What a slip lane is.
Yes, I found this out as well.
And I was hoping we were going to see more. I mean, the pictures are kind of confusing. I've looked at them at least twice, and I still don't really understand some of the language and what it means.
Do you have an example of a slip lane in here?
Yeah.
Well, we have the pictures.
And as a quick note, and then also, Pat, that's why I also included the pieces around in our first beginning about we prioritize pedestrian safety and non-motorized transportation over increases in theoretical additional delays reduction. Sorry. That still is not the easiest to understand because they're all the same color, but if I can.
And avoiding the roundabout.
Yes.
So it's avoiding the roundabout and going straight to the.
Like Roy just said, you avoid the roundabout and just keep going right without really having to stop.
So right now when you come to that yield sign, you're westbound, you get into the roundabout to get on the on-ramp to the highway. They added a slip lane. You wouldn't go into the roundabout at all.
Where is this?
That's Aldi.
Is that Aldi?
Yeah. Right there.
Is there a need for a slip lane in other places, or is this the only place it fits?
This is the only one that they proposed in this evaluation. The comments from the business or from the loop were concerns over pedestrian safety because there is a crosswalk at that northeast end, the north part of the picture, to connect with us under 70, and their concerns if people are in a slip lane, you're less likely to stop for somebody in the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Could this probably be added to Rangeline?
So they don't have a proposal right now to add a slip lane into the Rangeline one. But the concerns with that is similar, so that if anyone's on that sidewalk, the cars might not stop for them.
There actually are two slip lanes at.
Oh, that's right.
Rangeline.
Going north on Rangeline?
On the south side.
The south side.
Yeah.
Can I ask real quick, what are the illustrations just outside the slip lane then? That's sidewalk, I assume, but it...
This?
Yes.
Yes.
All those outlines. That sidewalk, but the up above it?
So this is the
grass.
Vehicle line.
Median.
Okay.
Between sidewalks getting pushed back behind.
Underpass.
Expanding the right-of-way into the parking lot.
So you're looking at it at 30,000 feet. It's one thing, but the details really matter on slip lanes.
Yeah,
really matter. And we, like at right turn islands, where we pull them in and make them angled, that matters because where the pedestrian crosses, you can make them very safe. They can be more safe than just having a radius on like a normal intersection. But the details really matter. So I think what you've said is that you're very concerned about it. That establishes your concern will need to be addressed in some manner.
Yeah.
And it depends on, you know, I guess how persnickety we want to get with them when it gets down to detailed design.
Yeah.
We're not sure how much, you know, we're going to be able to influence design.
Right.
But.
So that's, this is why I wanted to write a letter on our behalf. Let me know.
Mm-hmm.
You had questions, Matt.
Well, a couple of thoughts or just some feedback, I guess. So going back to the Scott Boulevard, I mean, I think it's kind of taken on, you know, if you look at the city's land there at Strawn Road, not only the park that's existing, but the tract of land across the street from the park, that's there. There's the, you know, part across Perchy Creek, which is part of the city now, which, you know, increases the need for that connection over the creek. And there's also, and I would also, this is like really looking into the future, but I would urge us to kind of think about, you know, where we want to try to incentivize or not incentivize, but
encourage
future
future growth and development. So looking past what's happening in the Northeast, I know there's a lot going on there, but, you know, let's say, you know, at some point, you know, that is, that has grown as it's going to. What do we do after that? You know, there's a lot of geographic space to the Northwest there, if you, you know, in that area, so sort of north of 70, where that, you know, Strong Road and Sorrel's Overpass is, that could be, you know, future development. And there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be in place for that to be feasible. But that interchange is one part of that. And so, you know, just keeping in mind a long-term vision, I think that becomes even more important. So, to the point about being even more direct about trying to encourage that, you know, I would be all for that. I guess my question is, you know, at the MoDOT meeting that I attended, they kind of said, well, if the city and county are ready to move forward on that, you know, we're not going to stand in the way. And I'm like, well, how do they arrive at that position versus, you know, well, we're thinking about adding this other interchange over here on Parker Road without asking us about it, right? Mm-hmm. How does that happen, and how do we disconnect?
I can answer that in a way that does make sense. There is some logic behind it. So, in an original, so the first thing is a major investment study. This was done in 2000, and then there was a, this was done by MoDOT.
In 2000.
Yeah, generally about I-70 in this area on what it's supposed to do. And then there was a follow-up, Improve I-70 project that studied, if it was improved, if funding could be obtained, what are the things that could occur? And for the entire state, from Kansas City to St. Louis, if something happened on all of that. And their intention was no new interchanges for anybody, any community. They looked at Parker and said, we can't handle the left exit from I-70 and the connector traffic and the close spacing of Rangeline and Providence with the traffic that's going to be through there. So they did basically the same thing like they're proposing now with the outer roadway, one-way outer roadways connecting that, and they needed Parker to have those connections and then close off the I-70 left exit. So close the I-70 left exit and then not add an interchange, but add a coupled connection for those three intersections, Providence, Rangeline, and Parker. So that was an option. It wasn't even a preferred option. It was an option that was provided to FHWA as part of that report. So in the current thing, they have to address it somehow. They have to say, you know, if that's the option that gets selected, how or, you know, what would happen with it. So
is that an option that they're really considering?
I mean it's going to be examined.
Yeah.
The spacing between what they're planning on doing at the connector and where the entry is onto I-70 and where you would have to get off at Parker is going to be very close, and it's unlikely that mm-hmm. FHWA would approve that,
right,
because of the close proximity.
It
could be done, and if a community was to advocate for it, try to find a way to do it, you could possibly do it, but I don't, or didn't
since
see anything that
seems. Yeah, and since it's not funded, so. I was like, we'd rather you work on the things you have funding, or, you know, the priorities rather than a new thing, but that was just based on the conversation I heard. There was, the only other thing that I have a question on is that there options for the 70-63, it wasn't necessarily, okay, I said, like, we want one. Like, I didn't feel like we could really give them direction except for what I included in there, which is, like, we want you to make sure you're thinking about our trail extension, which there was no note of in there. So That's what I included because we're planning that trail that's going to go under the interchange, the Hinkson Creek Trail extension. Mm-hmm. And then just the other questions I have about were we supposed to be saying, yes, we want one, no, we want two? Because I don't know that relationship between those two.
So go to alternate three real quick. Because alternate three, that's like your, it's your baseline.
What'd you say?
It's the baseline. It's not really doing, yeah. It's,
yeah.
So really you're looking at either one or two.
Okay, yeah, and that's what I thought.
From our perspective, they're gonna be looking at both of those and what, you know, from a variety of different angles, how much right of way they need, does it address the traffic issue?
What happens with that island
in the
middle?
I don't know if from our perspective we had anything hard and fast to say about that. It was just more that we want to see an improvement at I-70 and 63 like everybody else. And so that's why we
didn't have a recommendation.
Right.
Can you go up to one, please?
And there's it gets even more complex because this is intended to be a design build project. They've gotten permission from the Highway Commission to do this as a design build. So what this does is establish data that says any improvement has to be this good or better from the design build perspective. So that's the baseline to go from. Is like the improvements to transportation have to be this or better.
And on this one, for alternative one, we've recently made some investments in some of these areas, like the outer road on the south part and then the Clark Lane. So are these, you know, things that are in line with what we were already doing or, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally, so when this was extended and improved, the establishment with FHWA and MoDOT was that northern edge was set so that whatever needed to occur could occur for I-70 and 63. So.
What does all the red mean?
It would go away, I think.
Yeah. So are those are spaces that are now occupied by
roads?
Roads, and they would go away. Is that Walmart and the Conley Road?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's Walmart.
So what does that do as far as providing access to that large retail area?
That's an excellent question.
I think the Business Loop expressed a concern about that.
What's shown there does not appear to provide as good of access as what they currently have.
That's a problem.
Well, this is also a very confusing. Like, so for that piece where I'm like, is that a normal road? Not a normal road? We gave them a lot of feedback. It's like finance, y'all. Like page numbers and legends are just like super simple things that we learned in elementary school about what to put in prison. I see you have prison page numbers. Thank you, Shane.
But this is still looking at it at a pretty high level, right? As you drill down and projects become actual...
Yeah.
Funded, you might. There could be some improvements to that, but still meet what you got. So,
Mayor, can we go back to Parker for a minute?
You want to bring up Parker?
Well, before we leave this,
okay.
Do you have?
Oh wait,
yeah.
I have one quick one.
On that, okay, yeah. Let's stay on one intersection.
Okay. So I guess in your. So let me ask a question, and then I'll give you my opinion afterward. But in your professional judgment, I mean, are they trying to meet a budget with these alternatives? Are they actually, like, solving the problems? I mean, it seems like there's a lot that's left undone with this, having a, quote, major overhaul of this major intersection, and there's a lot that's not getting done in either of these alternatives. So I guess I'm giving you my opinion now. I guess, what is your professional judgment of the sort of the engineering solutions that might be possible here versus what has actually been proposed?
Well, like with anything, you can do anything. It just takes
money.
Time, effort, money.
So, I mean, that's the thing. They do have a certain dollar amount that has been funded towards this project, and currently they're saying whatever's going to be done as a design-build project has to improve it this much, and will only cost this much money, and that's it.
Are they trying to save those islands there in the middle, and instead of, you know?
I don't think they have a preconceived save anything other than for costs. That's my assessment. Like, if I was going into it, I would try to figure out what needed to be done on the traffic side, so that's what the transportation guys are going to do.
Yeah.
And then if it wipes something out, it wipes something out if it's a better improvement. But if there's a less cost alternative that gives the same thing, then that's what we're going to do as engineers and recommend that.
So when you have an interstate and then a major four-lane federal highway, you know, typically you see like a full cloverleaf interchange or something where you can go in all directions without being dumped out onto city roads.
Yeah, and I would say the professionals at MoDOT would want to do as good a project as they can. They're just constrained by a certain amount of funding that they have available. Now, if they can get more and do more, I think they would, but at this point, they don't have that.
On this interchange?
Yeah.
The Hinkson Creek Trail extension, where is that exactly?
Gabe can talk about it, but it generally goes. So generally, well, I mean, basically, we want to get from here to over there.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. So you'll come off the County Road Pedway,
which is behind
the first cursor was, and that's the Clark Lane on the top side. So right there by the Socket Building, you would come under I-70, and you would pop up on that new sidewalk on Clark Lane. Now, we are in the holding pattern on that project because we are waiting on this to be determined, and then our hope is that MoDOT will at least assist with wherever we set the grade for this trail to come through as part of the project, or they at least will know about it. So I would say that's important to add as well.
And I think we did, and we did make note on this interchange, that consideration to have.
Yeah, I just wanted to be able to visualize it. And design build means what?
So a construction company and an engineering firm will get together. It may be the same company, but they'll just say, we're going to provide this much within constraints for this much money.
So it's basically just puts both together,
yeah, versus,
and then you've got one pot of money.
Yeah, versus a design.
And then a build.
And then bidding it
bid
for that.
And then building,
yeah.
There's some efficiencies that occur both on the funding side and on the speed of
project timeline.
Thanks.
Other questions for staff? Okay, so
we're going to talk about Parker.
Oh, yeah, sorry, go back to Parker.
Because I don't understand the Parker thing. This is new to me. So where is that?
So
North Columbia Honda is.
Yeah, so this is Parker and Vandiver, that roundabout there, and this is the existing Hereford that comes over to Route B. So this interchange would be in that area. This is the bowling property.
Yes.
This is Central Concrete, so that's the general area. And again, these are lines that could shift.
So what's drawn there, there's no road there yet. That's what they're talking about as a proposed road.
Correct.
Now this is going to run along where we are hoping to build the Opportunity Campus, correct?
East side.
That would generally be in this area.
I think that's a really bad idea to put a connector like that.
Well, my biggest concern was I did the Google map and also drove it myself. Where they'd be entering onto Business Loop, maybe not like our best. Like, welcome to Columbia. Would you like to rent this?
I mean, it could go too. I mean,
I know improvements would theoretically follow. But.
Yeah, and this could even turn and come into Route B. It's the interchange piece that's the kind of the question.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. And not even that.
Well, I don't like the idea too. With all the resources we're going to put into the Opportunity Campus, that we're going to site an exit off of the interstate right next to it.
Right.
I think that's really unfair to what we're trying to accomplish to help people transition into housing, and it would make them feel even less than they already feel.
Yeah. So, for going forward, and then because I want to move us on because we have a few other things to do. I have down, so we're going to talk about this during reports later on, but probably what my plan will be to gather any kind of edits or things, you know, we want to add. So for instance, I have, we want to make sure that we're looking into the commercial development along Conley Road, that there's still access to that as we're looking at the 7063. Mm-hmm. We would like, did you phrase it, we want to reconsider, like, that Scott is not included?
Ask them to reconsider their objection to the Scott Boulevard interchange.
Yeah.
That way everybody else who reads your letter will understand
right.
what we're talking about.
And then Nick, to your point, one of the other things is I can just add kind of a line of stressing, like, as we're looking into the East Columbia plan, that the City of Columbia Public Works and Boone County, you know what I mean, would like to work together on the plan for this area as we see growth happening in the Northeast, in the East. Okay, we'll talk about this more in the report section. I just want to make sure I got that. You had another point.
There's just one thing where it said, where the letter currently says the city has an FHWA approved. I would say we have had. Had one. It'll have to be updated right there where it says has.
Okay.
It's still approved, but it'll have to be updated in order to be an actual usable AJR for.
Thank you for reading my letter so thoroughly. No, I'm just.
You probably got your ass.
So I probably
yeah.
put that
yeah.
in here somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions for staff? Well, thank you so much. I appreciate this. We are now, I make a motion that we move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri to immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to usually people are moving when I'm starting this part. The hiring, firing, discipline, or promoting of particular employees by a public governmental body when personal information about the employees discussed or recorded pursuant to Section 610.0213 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Also, individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employment pursuant to Section 610.02113 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and the leasing, purchase, or sale of real estate by a public governmental body where public knowledge of the transaction might adversely affect the legal consideration, therefore pursuant to Section 610.0212 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. And then I ask for a second prior to taking roll. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Nick. All right.